cruciferous vegetables, such as arugula, bok choy, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, collard greens, horseradish, kale, black, green, or red kale, mustard greens, radishes, turnip greens, and watercress. The serving sizes is a half a cup chopped, or a quarter cup of Brussels sprouts or broccoli sprouts, or 1 tablespoon of horseradish. And my daily recommendation is 1 serving a day. When I used to teach medical students at Tufts, I gave a lecture about this amazing new therapeutic called Eylacor B. I talk about all the evidence supporting it, the great things it could do, and its excellent safety profile. And just as the students would start scrambling to buy stock in the company and prescribe it to their future patients, I'd do the big reveal. Apologizing for my dyslexia, I would admit that I'd gotten it backwards. All this time, I've been talking about not Eylacor B, but broccoli. I've mentioned broccoli more than any other food in this audiobook, and for good reason. We've seen how cruciferous vegetables like broccoli can potentially prevent DNA damage, metastatic cancer spread in Chapter 2, activate defenses against pathogens and pollutants in Chapter 5, help to prevent lymphoma in Chapter 9, boost your liver detox enzymes and target breast cancer stem cells in Chapter 11, and reduce the risk of prostate cancer progression in Chapter 13. The component responsible for these benefits is thought to be sulforaphane, which is formed almost exclusively in cruciferous vegetables. This is why they get their own spot on the Daily Dozen. Beyond being a promising anti-cancer agent, sulforaphane may also help protect your brain and your eyesight, reduce nasal allergy inflammation, manage type 2 diabetes, and was recently found to successfully help treat autism. A placebo-controlled, double-blind, randomized trial of boys with autism found that about 2 to 3 cruciferous vegetable servings worth of sulforaphane a day improves social interaction, abnormal behavior, and verbal communication within a matter of weeks. The researchers, primarily from Harvard University and Johns Hopkins University, suggest that the effect might be due to sulforaphane's role as a detoxicant. A side note on strategies to enhance sulforaphane formation. The formation of sulforaphane in cruciferous vegetables is like a chemical flare reaction. It requires the mixing of a precursor compound with an enzyme called myrosinase, which is inactivated by cooking, though microwaved broccoli appears to retain some cancer-fighting capacity. This may explain why we see dramatic suppression of test tube cancer growth by raw broccoli, cauliflower, and Brussels sprouts, but hardly any reaction when they're cooked. But who wants to eat raw Brussels sprouts? Not me. Thankfully, there are ways to get the benefits of raw vegetables in cooked form. Biting into broccoli is like snapping that chemical flare. When raw broccoli, or any cruciferous vegetable, is chopped or chewed, the sulforaphane precursor mixes with the myrosinase enzyme, and sulforaphane is created as the vegetable sits on the cutting board or lies in your upper stomach waiting to be digested. Though the enzyme is destroyed by cooking, both the precursor and the final product are resistant to heat. So here's the trick. Use what I call the hack-and-hold technique, or maybe I could call it whack-and-wait. If you chop the broccoli, or Brussels sprouts, kale, collards, cauliflower, any other cruciferous vegetable, and then wait 40 minutes, you can cook it as much as you want. At that point, the sulforaphane has already been made, so the enzyme is no longer needed to achieve maximum benefit. It's already done its job. You could also buy bags of fresh greens or other crucifers that have been pre-chopped or shredded, which can presumably be cooked immediately. Given this understanding, you can see how most people prepare broccoli soup incorrectly. Typically, they first cook the broccoli and then blend it. But when you blend it, you're merely mixing the precursor with an enzyme that's been inactivated by cooking. So do it in the opposite order. First, blend your veggies, then wait 40 minutes before cooking them. This way, you can maximize sulforaphane production. What about frozen broccoli and other crucifers? Commercially produced frozen broccoli lacks the ability to form sulforaphane because the vegetables are blanched or flash cooked before they're frozen for the very purpose of deactivating enzymes. This process prolongs shelf life, but when you take the veggies out of your freezer, the enzyme is inert. At that point, it doesn't matter how much you chop or how long you wait, no sulforaphane is going to be made. This may be why fresh kale has been shown to suppress cancer cell growth in vitro up to 10 times better than frozen kale. The frozen cruciferous is still packed with the precursor, though. Remember, that's heat-resistant. You could make lots of sulforaphane from it by adding back some enzyme, but where can you get myrosinase? Well, you know, scientists buy theirs from chemical companies, but you can just walk into any grocery store. Mustard greens are also cruciferous vegetables. They grow from mustard seeds, which you can buy ground up in the spice aisle as mustard powder. If you sprinkled some mustard powder on frozen broccoli that's been cooked, would it start churning out sulforaphane? Yes. Boiling broccoli prevents the formation of any significant levels of sulforaphane due to the inactivation of the enzyme. However, the addition of powdered mustard seeds to cooked broccoli significantly increases sulforaphane production. Then it's almost as good as eating it raw. So, if you don't have 40 minutes to spare between chopping and cooking, or if you're using frozen greens, just sprinkle the crucifers with some mustard powder before you eat them, and you'll be all set. Daikon radishes, regular radishes, horseradish, wasabi, all cruciferous vegetables, and may have the same effect. All it appears to take is a pinch to revitalize sulforaphane production. You can also add a small amount of fresh greens to your cooked greens. So when I add shreds of purple cabbage to my finished dishes, it not only adds a beautiful garnish with a delightful crunch, it's filled with the sulforaphane-producing enzyme. One of my first tasks every morning used to be chopping greens for the day using my hack-and-hold technique, but now, with the mustard powder plan, I have one less to do on my list. Horseradish. The serving sizes I talked about correspond roughly to the daily intake required to achieve cancer-preventive levels, according to the innovative breast surgery study I talked about before. As you heard, horseradish has the smallest serving size, which means it's the most concentrated of the cruciferous vegetables. One tablespoon, and your daily dozen is down to an everyday 11. Horseradish can be made into a sauce, a relish, or dressing to score an extra check mark with a kick. It's great in mashed potatoes, or, for a healthier option still, mashed cauliflower. Just boil cauliflower for about 10 minutes until tender, then mash it with a fork or a potato masher or puree in a food processor with some of the reserved cooking liquid until smooth. I season it with pepper, roasted garlic, a dollop of horseradish, and then pour some mushroom gravy on it. Delicious. Roasting cruciferous vegetables. As much as I love mashed cauliflower, roasted cauliflower, or broccoli for that matter, is my favorite. Roasting brings out a nutty, caramelized flavor. I slice raw cauliflower into like steaks, roast at 400 degrees Fahrenheit for a half an hour, and then smother it in a lemon tahini sauce. Sometimes I go minimalist and just sprinkle on some lemon juice, zest, capers, and garlic. This chapter's making me hungry. Kale chips. I'll talk about some of the more traditional ways I prepare greens in the next section, but kale chips deserve a special mention. You can use a dehydrator if you have one, but I often don't have the patience. When I'm in the mood for kale chips, I want them now. They can be as simple as one ingredient, kale. Pull the leaves off the stems, tear into large pieces, and make sure they're dry or they'll steam rather than crisp. Lay the torn leaves in a single layer on a cookie tray lined with parchment paper or a silicone mat to prevent sticking, and bake at a low temperature, about 250 degrees Fahrenheit, and check often to make sure they don't burn. Within about 20 minutes, they transform into light, crispy snacks. You can pre-season the leaves before you roast them or add your spices after they're done. There are thousands of recipes online. I recommend starting with Ann Esselstyn's recipe on her son Rip's website, engine2diet.com. That's engine, just the numeral, 2diet.com. With kale chips, the more you snack, the healthier you are. Cruciferous garnishes. Similar to the way I use an open can of beans in the fridge as a reminder to try to bean up any dish, we always have a purple or red cabbage in the crisper to help us cruciferize our meals. I slice off shreds and garnish nearly anything with them. Red cabbage averages about $1 a pound, pretty much found in any grocery store or market, can last weeks in the fridge, though if it does, it means you're not using it enough, and has more antioxidants per dollar than anything else you'll find in the produce aisle. There are healthier foods you can buy, but not for the same amount of money. For example, purple cabbage may have nearly 3 times the antioxidant power per dollar than blueberries do. In terms of eating healthfully on a budget, purple cabbage can't be beat. Or can it? After chopping and discarding the waste, red cabbage averages 45 cents a cup, but broccoli sprouts, if you make them yourself, may be even cheaper. Broccoli sprout seeds can be purchased online or at natural food stores for about $20 a pound, but that makes about 75 cups of sprouts. In terms of sulforaphane content, that may be around 300 cups of mature broccoli, so DIY broccoli sprouts provide a green light sulforaphane source for about a nickel a day. Sprouting broccoli seeds is as easy as sprouting lentils. Start with a mason jar with a sprouting, like a screen lid. Add a tablespoon of seeds, let them soak overnight in water, drain in the morning, and then after that, just quickly rinse and drain twice a day. Most people wait about 5 days until the seeds fully sprout, taking on the look of alfalfa sprouts, but new science suggests sulforaphane content peaks at 48 hours after the seeds are initially drained. This makes them even quicker and easier to grow and eat. When I'm not traveling, I usually like to have a few jars in rotation. It can be middle of winter, and I'm growing my own salad on my kitchen counter. Every day, you can get cups of fresh produce for your family without ever having to go to the store. What about cruciferous supplements? If you don't like the taste of cruciferous vegetables but still want the benefits of the sulforaphane, what about the broccoli supplements currently on the market? Researchers recently put a leading commercial supplement to the test. BroccoMax boasts the equivalent of a half a pound of broccoli in every capsule. Study subjects were given either 6 capsules a day or just a single cup of broccoli sprouts. The supplement hardly worked at all, whereas the sprouts boosted blood levels about 8 times higher for 8 times less cost. The researchers concluded that, quote, "our data provide further evidence that bioavailability of sulforaphane is dramatically lower when subjects consume broccoli supplements compared to fresh broccoli sprouts." A side note, too much of a good thing? If broccoli sprouts are so cheap and effective, why not eat bowls of them? A formal safety analysis found no significant adverse effects to about 1.5 cups a day, but we didn't have data on a potential upper limit until a team of Italian researchers tried to push the envelope. They were attempting to come up with an intravenous infusion dose to use as chemotherapy, and so they wanted to know how high they could go. The researchers discovered that blood levels achieved by 4 or more cups of broccoli sprouts may indeed be detrimental. They concluded, however, that no harm was found at nutritionally attainable concentrations. But that's not really true. I mean, broccoli sprouts do have a radishy bite, but someone could theoretically eat 4 cups of broccoli sprouts a day. See, those researchers don't know health nuts like I know some health nuts. Let me tell you a story. A few years ago, someone came up to me after a lecture in Miami, told me he had heard that wheatgrass juice was good for you. It cleans you out, he said. He thought, hey, why not, and decided to stuff himself with it. He told me how he calculated the volume of the human digestive tract, all 10 yards or so, and proceeded to drink that amount continuously, quart after quart, of wheatgrass juice until it started coming out the other end. Intrigued, I asked him what happened. He looked up at me with an expression that I can only describe as rapturous and said, "It was volcanic." It would be hard for me to say too many good things about cruciferous vegetables. These vegetables do wonders for your health, from fighting cancer progression and boosting defenses against pathogens and pollutants to helping protect your brain and vision and more. You can use this family of veggies as your excuse to play mad scientist in the kitchen, manipulating enzyme chemistry to maximize the health benefits.